Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, the podcast.
He quieted the New York media as if.
Alan, he hit you guys with that Reggie Miller last night.
Bam, right in the ribs.
Miller media. Last night.
Bam, right in them ribs.
You can't quiet the New York media, son. Can't do that.
Son.
Man. Well, you know what, though? Again, the good news or the happy thing was that place. I was on MSG Network last night, guys. That building, even outside at 5 o'clock, 2 hours before tip, It was insane. There's everybody all around the garden, blue and orange everywhere, all the fans just happy, just like it's warm weather. It was 90 and humid in the city.
Yeah, it was.
And it just felt like we haven't had this kind of experience in forever, where it's just a hot day and you're going to a Knick game and it matters and it's a post game. And there was just a lot of excitement. There was chants and screaming and everything. And that in itself was just fun to be part of. As we keep talking about throughout the show, this weekend felt like a bit of a return to some normalcy in sports. And that was one of those examples of, man, it hasn't felt like this in such a long time. And then the game happened. And the game itself, although the start was a bit rough for the Knicks and for the Hawks, neither team could make a shot. It was ugly, but we saw that a lot in the playoffs. But Trae Young did Trae Young things late in the game, and the crowd was really giving it to him. I mean, you had over 15,000 people in the garden that seats about 19,000 for basketball. And it was loud. It was raucous. It was everything you would expect the garden to be for a playoff game. And they were letting him have it like they try to let stars have it. And you give Trae Young credit, 32 points. What do you have, 10 or 12 assists? And he made the game-winning shot with 9/10 of a second. And then, of course, was wondering where all those negative chants were after the game.
I don't know. I've always looked at it as I'm doing something. I'm doing something right. If I'm affecting them with my play that much, that they hate me that much, I'm obviously doing something right. And just got to let my play do the talking, because at the end of the day, fans can only talk.
Ooh, Jay, I feel him 100%.
Jay, what do you think of him acknowledging, I heard everything they were saying?
I've known Trae since his freshman year when he was at Oklahoma. He relishes for this. He relishes. Do you know what I saw last night, Al? I'm sitting there watching the game, obviously thinking about the emotional roller coaster that you're on. And I saw Trae Young's eyes literally widen up when Frank Ntilikina came into the game, has not played the whole game. Look at the box score. He played 1 minute. You bring him in cold off the bench. And Alan, what have you and I been saying leading up to the whole week? We said, well, look, there's a history here that they cannot stop Trae Young in pick and roll. They can't stop it, which he just annihilated you guys last night, the whole game. I'm like, just blitz him. Do something to get the ball out of his hands. And that's the player that you put on him at that minute of the game?
I knew the game was over. Drafted. Every Knick fan will tell you he was drafted for that moment.
I don't care.
At that moment.
You don't put a player in cold, even if he is. It's like a kicker. Like, you're going to bring in a kicker and just say, I don't even know what the hell analogy I'm trying to make right now. You can't put him in that situation.
Bringing a defensive stopper in to make a defensive stop, and all you had to do was not let him get to his right hand. That's just very easy. Just don't let him get to his right hand.
Frozen cold.
Is Frank Ntilikina really a defensive stopper?
Well, that's what he was drafted about. We were told that.
Phil Jackson
told y'all a lot before he left the building.
So he certainly did.
What difference does it make?
He certainly did. But
Trae Young gave y'all that work. Y'all, we talked about being a defensive playoff team. We know you're a defensive regular season, right?
Yes.
But could that transfer over into the postseason?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the Hawks got 107 on y'all last night, but Trae Young hit for 32.
Yes.
And you knew that he was going to be
a problem.
Mini Steph Curry. So, at the end, you didn't stop what you should have stopped. So, does it really fall on Frank, or does this fall on the scheme that was brought into the Hawks game?
It was a one-on-one. He wasn't even screened. But you know what? I'll put it this way. Julius Randle had the worst game he could possibly have. Couldn't make a shot, everything. And it wasn't what the Hawks The Hawks
Six
are going to talk
23.
About yes, and Six they're going to say, "Well, they had a scheme; they were doing this." They didn't do anything. He missed everything left. He hasn't played in a week. He's terrible after All Star. He talks about that all the time. He's got to find his rhythm. His shot just wasn't falling. Normal shots he makes, he didn't make. So that was a major issue not having him and Reggie Bullock, who's been kind of his his outlet pass guy that knocks down threes. He wasn't there either. So you take those two pieces out for the Knicks, you're going to struggle to score and you're going to struggle to win. And it still took Trae Young having to make a shot with 0.9 seconds left to beat them. The bench scored 64 points. Guys, this is going to be a series. This is not going to be – this is going to be seven. It's going to be a grinder game after game. Yes. I'm here for it. This is just the beginning.
But I give – hey, I give the Atlanta Hawks a lot of credit. Like, you got to get one. You got to get one on the road. And they got one, regardless of whether Julius Randle played bad or not. Alec Burks was
great,
busting people's heads open last night with 27 points. You know what I mean? Like, D. Rose made a big-time shot down the stretch. He played exceptionally well. But, you know, I every time I see Trae Young, and this is unfair – right? But you automatically go back to when the Atlanta Hawks made that move to get Trae Young.
Yep.
And they decided to pass on Luka Doncic, right? But my thing is, Trae Young has been everything he's promised to be for this organization since he's been there. He might be a volume shooter, but man, the way he plays, it is special to watch. He's one of the most dynamic players, and he proved it again last night on a big stage, on a huge stage.
Can we move on also to the other team in New York? The other team in New York, I said.
The other team. That's so that would be disrespectful.
Well, I mean,
the other championship contending team in New York.
But it's true. Think about this for a minute.
I wouldn't say the other championship contending team. The only championship contending team.
That's right.
Fair. And I have acknowledged that. So, but still, it was Saturday night. They, too, got off to a slow start. They, too, looked like, you know, not playing for a week, had to knock off some rust, weren't making their threes early. But, man, that second half. And I said this earlier, we all do this week one of NFL. We have these irrational takes. I'll do the irrational takes out of the first weekend of the NBA playoffs. And my irrational take, which I don't think is so irrational, is after watching that second half, the Nets are going to roll through the East. Yeah. After watching everybody else in the East and watching the Nets, they're going to roll through the East. That's how I feel after watching the second half. They have way too much firepower, and when they want to play defense, they can.
Alan,
and they're pretty
so
good
wrong.
At it.
You're so wrong on this one. Did you watch how stagnant they're? I mean, granted, second half, those boys started to light
third
up.
Third quarter.
But do you know how they – it was one-on-one basketball for the Nets. It was like, hey, KD, do your thing. Then Kyrie was like, it's my turn. Then James was like, it's my turn. Then Kyrie was like, hey, it's my turn. It was 101-101 constantly. I'm trying to tell you, I still have the Nets coming out of the East, but when they get to the next round, I don't put anything on Boston. I'm not having a big takeaway against the Boston Celtics. Stop Jason Tatum. You beat the Boston Celtics. That's easy considering the season. And I'm not taking that on Boston, but we all know what Boston is right now. They're a team trending in a different direction, right? When you start getting to the Milwaukees or when you start getting to like that next level, if Milwaukee is able to win that series, you have to play team basketball. We will see real test when they play against their next round against real basketball. If they can share the rock, if they can actually draw a line in the sand defensively. I don't think this is going to be a walk-away cupcake type of thing for the Nets. Not at all.
I mean, they may not roll through it as far as sweeping every single team. They might drop one or two along the way, but I'm with Allen on this one. I don't see it. I don't give a damn if they play one-on-one out in the park somewhere. I just don't see it.
Like, what about what you saw between the Heat and Bucks told you, like, wow, like, they're going to really give them a hard time? What about what the Sixers, you know, in their series? Like, what about that made you feel like, oh, you know, they're really going to give the Nets a hard time? I mean, I'm watching all these games, and that's what I keep coming back to is – how can anybody match up with them?
They got just too much firepower.
Yeah.
And when you scoring, you know, Jay, when you scoring at that volume, the way that they can't
the
score, that is their defense.
Yeah.
That's their defense right there, because now you're rushing shots or you're stressing out because you're playing such major catch-up.
Oh, I understand. I'm just, you know, as we get deeper into the playoffs, team basketball does matter to a certain extent. And I do think the lack of continuity – there will have to be major growth for the Nets throughout this run. I don't think it's just going to be cupcake city for them. There's going to be some battles where series might go to 6 or 7 that they're going to need to really find a way to grind out. It's not going to be like they're just going to smack everybody 4-0 or a gentleman sweep in 5-0 and 4-1.
What do you think of now that we've seen all the game ones? What series stands out to you as the most compelling, Jay? Which one is the one you're like, man, this is one you definitely don't want to miss a game?
I mean, I have to go back to Lakers-Suns. I go Lakers Suns.
A lot of intrigue there, right?
There's so much. I go Lakers Suns. I go Bucks Heat just because I saw, you know, for as much as you guys went hard on Giannis and that opened a segment about Jimmy Butler driving by him, and that was one segment that we showed on NBA Countdown. I mean, Jimmy Butler was 4 of 22 from the field, yeah, and he was guarded by Giannis, right? Like, he could have – I mean, Giannis did defend that matchup very well throughout the entire course of the game. So understanding how the Bucks – how the Miami Heat shot so poorly, like, that's also going to be a series that I think can go 6 or 7.
Can you watch anything other than Lakers? Is there anything other that stands out to you?
I mean – right now, that's pretty much it, right? I mean, Sixers, Wizards, because of the two guys up in Washington. Other right. than that, I'm not really.
Mavs, really, Clippers?
Nah.
Mavs, Clippers, Key? Come on, man.
Nah, I can't. Why
come on.
Luca. I wasted 3 hours of my day messing around with the
message.
Clippers.
He might have sent a message in that series.
Because
like,
Kawhi. And
Clippers once again.
Kawhi and them, they just. So I don't know, man. It's the Clippers. It's the Clips of the Clips.
I'm telling you, Pandemic P was trending all day long on Twitter.
We'll see what happens between the Sixers and the Clippers and who goes the furthest. No more Doc. They blame Doc. Doc is now over here in Philly. Yeah. Seemed like that they're going to be all right.
He was too tough on them, right?
Yeah. So we'll see. I mean, they got what they wanted.
Yeah.
Mm. You know, Ty Lue, my man, but it's just crazy because Ty Lue was on the bench with Doc coaching the same sort of style and way. It's like, well, how did you move on from that to go to that, which is the same thing?
It's a personality thing, and isn't it?
It is. And, Alan, something else that stood out to me from the weekend. Like, I'm so fascinated. You know, you're a Knicks fan, and I know that we put a lot of players on a Knicks. But, like, let's just be real about it. How long can CP3 last in Phoenix? Like, there is a lot of ties between Devin Booker and the Knicks.
Yeah, Devin Booker will be in L.A.
Or the Lakers, right? There's a lot of intrigue. I'll tell you another tie. You know who's from Connecticut? From Greenwich, Connecticut, who grew up going to Knicks games. Like, and I'm not sure he's the happiest in Utah. I don't know what's going on. Did you hear the way Rudy Gobert and some of those guys talked about Donovan Mitchell not playing? Like, that's an interesting dynamic for me to follow. Like, him and Bogey, Rudy Gobert, were like, hey, I don't know, our star players aren't ready to play in game one. They dropped that game to the Grizzlies.
What happened there, though, Jay? Like, I thought he declared himself ready.
I thought he declared himself ready, too. I do not know.
Yeah, we got to dive deeper, certainly, into that. But you know what? It was a lot of fun. It was a great weekend. It was a lot of fun, certainly, for the NBA and obviously in the world of sports, golf as well, with Phil Mickelson. We're going to discuss that a little more here in a couple of seconds. Keyshawn, J. Will Zubin, presented by Progressive Insurance. Commercial insurance through Progressive protects your business and your dream. Choose from over 30 coverage options at progressivecommercial.com.
I believed for a long time that I could play at this level again. I just didn't see why it couldn't be done.
Hall of Famer, 50 years old, you know the resume, you know the storylines, and Sunday is somehow exceeding expectations.
Although I believed it until I actually did it, there was a lot of doubt, I'm sure.
Phil Mickelson is the champion of the 103rd PGA Championship.
I don't know how to describe the feeling of excitement and accomplishment. Certainly one of the moments I'll cherish my entire life.
Yeah, one of the most likable guys on the tour, one of the most likable like athletes that we have even today, lefty Phil Mickelson winning the PGA. Gene Wojciechowski interviewed him afterwards. He joins us right now in the Goodyear Hotline. And Gene, I was really fascinated by one thing that Phil said to you when he talked about his takeaways and also a bit of inspiration. And I want to play that for those listening right now. So here's Phil talking about, again, what he takes away from this win, but also the inspiration he drew from another superstar.
There's no reason why at an older age you cannot be at your best. It just takes a little more work. And I believed it for a long time, and I wasn't getting the results, but I believed it, and I had people believe in me, and it just takes a little more work.
We've seen Tom Brady reach out to you. I was curious, anybody of note that you'd like to thank for reaching back out to you today?
So I'm very inspired by Tom Brady. He is, he's actually a big motivation because of how hard he works to be the best and to elongate his career. Spending time with him, it's inspiring, but it's also, I learn a lot.
Gene, what'd you take from that answer, especially when he brought up Tom Brady?
Well, I had seen that Tom Brady had tweeted out something to Phil,
I believe it was either Saturday or Sunday morning, and it just struck me as sort of how athletes at the highest level, only they can really relate to what that feels like. You know, Keyshawn and Jay will obviously know what Phil was talking about there. There is just something that separates good from great. And I think what Phil was saying there was he recognized what separated Tom Brady from everyone else. And I think he understood that maybe he wasn't doing everything that he could. And so I think he, you know, Phil's a smart guy, sometimes too smart, complicates things by his own admission. But in Tom Brady's case, he saw somebody who simply was willing to do more than anybody else. And maybe that was one of the missing pieces for him to get his game back together.
Gene, how surprised were you that he actually won?
Stunned. Everybody there was stunned, including Phil Mickelson. You know, one of the questions I asked him to start the interview, Keyshawn, was, you've been known to put a wager down on occasion. Would you have bet on yourself before the tournament began? And he sort of sidestepped the answer, but I'm not sure he would have. And, you know, he was 200-1 odds, and I think that was generous. So he had been playing awful for the most part for the last 18 months. There were little glimpses that he was getting better, but certainly nothing, absolutely nothing, that would lead you to believe that he was going to win the 103rd PGA Championship. So not only is he the people's choice out there, but everyone loves an underdog, and he was the ultimate underdog this week.
Gene, the biggest headline for me about Phil Mickelson, I would love to hear you expound upon it. He prioritized mental health, and look what happened. Isn't that special?
Yeah, absolutely. And he talked about in that interview, he had to learn how to be still. And I think he was referring to being still in his own mind. He understands the powers and the dangers and the sort of the challenges that we all face. And I think in his own way, he addressed that in a with a lot of class and in a way that everybody could relate to and understand. So I'm with you on that. Phil's a different dude, and there's no way around it. He looks at the world in a different way. He comes at his profession in a different way. And, sometimes we all roll our eyes at it. Other times we get a glimpse at how he comes at life. And he looks at things four-dimensionally. And it's an interesting seat to see. So we saw it all on display this week, and it was fascinating. And, yesterday it wasn't the most compelling final round of golf. I mean, it got a little sloppy at times, but it was never dull. And that's all you can ask for in a major championship. So we got a winner out of nowhere, a moment of history, and a lot of drama.
What chances do you give him now out at Torrey Pines to finish the career Grand Slam to complete it, given the fact that, so I'm told, it's a tough course? I've never played it, but I'm told it's a tough course.
He's never won a U.S. Open, too. It's the elusive U.S. Open for
him. Well, I guarantee you, Keyshawn, you didn't want to play the Ocean course. It was as hard of a track as I've ever seen, and especially with conditions. Torrey Pines is a place that Phil, you know, he's from San Diego. He's probably played it 10,000 times. So it certainly won't be from a lack of knowing that course. He'll have to deal with his, you know, the annual questions about the U.S. Open, just like, you know, Rory McIlroy deals with it with the Masters, and Jordan Spieth deals with it with the PGA Championship. That's a fascinating question. I don't know how he'll do. But as he said when we talked last night, this could propel him. You know, this could be that thing that, you know, hey, everything clicks now. Like, you know, Shaq suddenly learning how to make a free throw, that sort of thing. It could be that win that makes him have that confidence, which is so important. And his swing is getting better and evolving. So as we just discovered, and it's a lesson we've learned 100 million times in sports, anything is possible in live sports, and we saw it this week.
And a historic sport like golf, history certainly made. Gene, thank you so much for the time. We appreciate you.
All right, take care.
Thank you. Gene Wojciechowski on the Goodyear Hotline.
What's wrong with you, Keith?
Well, I went to my golf voice. Thank you.
Thank you.
Still, it was historic. I just don't know about the age thing. I'm still bothered by it.
He's 50.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, he's
don't
old.
Take it personal, Alan.
Just, it's weird that we're just marveling over somebody at 50 years old. Oh, my God. I mean,
where's your cane at, Alan?
Exactly.
Did you use it walking in today?
I'm not 50 yet.
Tough 20 minutes for Alan. I mean, he's got to answer the Knicks losing. I don't know if you knew that, Alan. The Knicks lost.
You know what,
last
though?
Night.
We could then discuss.
Then he's got to hear, you know, about 50-year-olds being
old.
Yeah,
but
tough break.
We could discuss the Islanders in a dramatic win on Saturday afternoon. I mean, just talk about a big, loud crowd, Nassau Coliseum.
If
we could do that if you'd like. Feel better about that.
If somebody would have walked up to me and said, you know, asked the question, had somebody ever won the tournament over 50, I'd be like, yeah, sure. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Because golf is an old man's game.
That's exactly.
So it's like, yes, okay.
But also, athletes, people are built differently now. Like we're seeing people do things, achieve things at older ages. I just laugh at how dramatic.
They got to sell it, though. You got to make it. Got to sell it.
I think it's great because it's been a long time. He's such a popular golfer.
Well, just say it's been a long time. You don't have to say 50, right?
I can't even hate on it because, you know, I'm a lot younger than both you guys, but both your hairlines are way better than mine. I can't.
At least you saved it there, Jay. At least you saved it there. Why the Lakers, repeated chances.
Don't talk about the Lakers.
We're almost a wrap before they
even. Keep the Lakers out your mouth.
Took the court. The Lakers, some controversy, some issues. What's LeBron up to?
My shoulder.
Double standards. KJZ, ESPN Radio, and the ESPN.
My eye.
Layup missed, but there to clean it up is LeBron for two. And Chris Paul is down. And in some pain, he's grabbing toward his right arm.
He's grabbing his right shoulder, I think, man. He is in major pain.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
take the responsibility. Anthony Davis did not play well. We've had several different performances over the weekend, the first weekend of the NBA playoffs. Keyshawn J. Will Zubin, presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. In a wild first weekend of the playoffs for the NBA, let's bring in Doris Burke, our ESPN NBA analyst, who joins us on the Goodyear Hotline. Doris, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, guys. Exceptionally well. This is my favorite time of year. Two NBA games on a night. Pick your network, and what a start. What a start. I guess, are you guys most surprised at Anthony Davis's performance?
I think Key is, Doris. Key's been in an emotional, a glass case of emotion over this season with AD.
Yeah. He's interesting, Doris. He is very
having trust issues this morning. Trust issues.
Very interesting. What did you, since you brought it up, what did you make of his performance? Because clearly I was very disappointed.
Yeah. You know, I just didn't feel like he had, you can tell, Keyshawn, obviously, when an athlete has pop, when there's verve, when there's just something elevated about what they're prepared to do on this particular day. And I never got that sense from Anthony Davis. So I appreciate it, especially in an era where accountability seems to be lacking in many ways. I did appreciate his sentiment saying, we're not winning, obviously, with me playing to that level. And if you don't mind, I'm just going to swap over to the Phoenix Suns because, you know, the question all season as they continue to build this incredible season was, are they legitimate? You know, we've spent a lot of time talking about Devin Booker's scoring ability and what it means and all the things and accolades he's gotten. But what does it mean because he's not been in the playoffs? For that young man in his first game to take the game under control, particularly when they had to deal with Chris Paul being down, just could not have been more impressed. He proved yesterday he's going to be a problem all over the floor. You're going to have to send multiple. And every time I've been asked about this team, Jay Williams, and I'd love your thoughts on this, the one sentiment I had when I was asked, are they legitimate, is tell me which DeAndre Ayton is going to show up. Mm-hmm. Because the young guy has got a ton of talent. They've been searching for consistency his entire young career. And he goes for 8 offensive rebounds, 21-16, vertical threat, problematic on the defensive end. Like, he was spectacular. The guy with the highest plus-minus for the Phoenix Suns yesterday was DeAndre Ayton. And if you're going to tell me that guy can string together those kinds of performances over the course of this playoffs, then the answer is a definitive yes. They are a force to be reckoned with, and obviously so much yet to be learned about how Chris Paul is feeling over the next day or two.
Well, DB, that's what we talked about the whole time while we were in studio for Countdown. It was that DeAndre Ayton, he was plus 16 yesterday, which was the best on the court. But it looked like DeAndre Ayton was the guy who was the veteran, who had been an NBA champion. And it looked like AD was the guy who was still trying to find his rhythm offensively. And sometimes it feels like AD offensively, when it's not going, that can also dictate how he plays defensively.
Yeah, correct. Listen, let's not kid ourselves. Anthony Davis, when he is playing at the top of his game, is a top 5 player because he has the potential to be elite on both ends. But if it's the Anthony Davis that is not engaged or that settles too often for jump shots, that isn't, you know, all over the floor defensively, think about the number of times this guy closes, you know, from 8 to 10 feet away and gets a tip block on a 19 or a 3-point attempt, or the guy that's the fastest second jumper on the court and is sending things back emphatically, that's sprinting the floor in transition where the Lakers can be so dangerous and you see those passes. So yeah, I mean, bottom line is, like, you might have top 5 skills. It doesn't mean you're a top 5 player. Like, you got to prove it night in and night out, and this is the moment to do it. So I am fascinated. Number one, what does Frank Vogel do? Are the first 3 play calls in a half-court set in game 2 Anthony Davis on the left block? Is that the play call? Let's see.
We're watching highlights as you're talking, and Key is losing his mind because he does look so passive. But Doris, I want to move to the East because I want to get your reaction to, you know, we do this in the NFL. Week 1, we have these irrational takes right out of the first week of a season where you know there's still a ton of games. So the first weekend of the NBA playoffs, I want to have an irrational take as I'm watching all the games, and I'm especially close really more on the East than I am on the West. And I'm looking at the Eastern games, and I'm watching the second half of Nets-Celtics, and I come away with this irrational thought. There's no one that can match up with the Nets. I have a feeling, you know, they might lose a game here and there, but they just look like they're going to roll through the East. They're just too talented, too deep, and they proved it in that second half when they really got it going.
Yeah, Alan, think about how poorly they played on the offensive end. I thought there were a couple of things going on. I think obviously the lack of continuity contributed to some turnovers. I thought the adrenaline was going, right? Here the big three were finally getting on the stage that they had in mind when they decided to join forces. And I obviously know James, you know, forced his way there a little bit later than the other two. But listen, we've said it all along. There's a reason they're the favorite. You've got three guys that you've got to game plan for. All three guys you've got to guard with multiple defenders, or you're in a bind. Well, that's absolutely impossible. Three guys who are shot makers. Now, down in clutch games, of the three right now, the highest field goal percentage is Kyrie Irving, but I still, if it's me, I want Kevin Durant to have the ball.
Yeah.
But there's just so many options. And here's what I think is not talked about enough is there's been a level of consistency from three guys in particular that I think have been critical to their success, and they don't get any run in terms of our conversations. Jeff Green, he's been rock solid, and I would say it's a toss-up between he and Joe Harris for who has been the most consistent net, both in availability and what you can count on night by night. Versatile on both ends. Can play the five spot if you need to, if he's going to downsize and you want to match Kevin Durant on a four. And then Joe Harris. Like, Joe did not play well offensively, didn't shoot it well. But, boy, he was grinding on the defensive end. He gets himself in bad matchups because of the switches, and he'll find a way to dig it out. And then Bruce Brown, who, you know, you'd say, how is this guy fitting in? Because he's an exceptional cutter. Put him in a ball screen action, and he just figures out a space to be in, and he's really smart. So, you know, I agree with you, Alan. I just think, you know, the Sixers are the most legitimate threat in my mind, but it's hard to envision Brooklyn losing.
All right, so it wasn't such an irrational thought. I'll take that. Doris, thank you so much. I know we do overreact maybe on some things, but I felt like I wasn't on this one, so thank you so much for backing me up on it. Good to talk to you. Have a good rest of your day.
Thanks, Doris.
Take care, guys.
Thank you.
All right, Doris Burke on the Goodyear Hotline, KJZ, presented by Progressive Insurance. Coming up, guys, is something we've got to discuss. 10 years, one fan base. How do you not celebrate this player, whether he left you or not? It doesn't make sense to me. Who are we talking about? We'll let you know. Next, KJZ, ESPN Radio, and ESPN News.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
This is our freaking moment, early in the playoffs. I'm not trying to get to July and say I wish we would have did whatever. It's freaking right now.
You make all these plans, you have a week of planning, and everything goes out of the window.
Harris has got it all crooked here in this one.
We just got to bring the energy each and every night.
I'm glad we got this one, so it's the next one, man.
Booker, left-hand dribble, flushes with two hands.
Booker is having his way.
This is on me. Take full responsibility. We look forward to game two.
Boy, I am excited to see basketball back in the Mecca.
Goes up and throws it down.
This is fun.
Young on the floater, puts it in.
Everybody's chanting F you.
They're still yelling now. I don't care.
Putting on an offensive show.
Memphis has pulled the upset.
The NBA playoffs, the actual playoffs, debuted this weekend, and it was a lot of fun all across the board. You saw a couple of upsets in game ones. You saw a couple of teams establish themselves early. And what you saw was another one of the favorites, the Denver Nuggets, on their home floor lose to the Portland Trailblazers. 123-109 in that game one. And it was a great performance. You know, again, you expect Dame Lillard to do what he does, 34 points. They hit a ton of threes, 19 of 40 from downtown in that game. Carmelo Anthony off the bench, 18 points, hit four threes. Again, back in Denver, where it all started for him, drafted in 2003 after the Detroit Pistons decided they wanted Darko Milicic. So he ends up in Denver. And what was strange, guys, and I call it strange because it's just been so long, is that there's Melo, and everybody's happy for Melo at this point in his career, right? He's still contributing, still part of winning, still scoring, now relegated to more of a guy coming off the bench. And they booed him in Denver. They were booing him. Carmelo Anthony playoffs, being booed Denver.
It's the playoffs.
So what? Booty.
So what?
It's fans, man. That's what they do.
It's so Melo. What? It doesn't make sense. There's a guy that
you don't think they're going to boo him when he comes to New York?
No.
They're going to boo him.
Never. He will never Alan, be
Alan, stop.
In New York.
Alan, yeah, if you guys were in the NBA Finals and Melo had the ball, you're telling me fans in you're telling
well,
me
gonna
fans
cheer.
In the well,
they're going to
yeah,
boo.
Yeah, well, what's the opposite of that? They're going to boo him.
But this is different. This is they're booing him. Their team's not playing well. He's knocking down threes. He's doing a three
like
to the dome,
him.
And they boo him. Here's Melo after the game on Saturday about being booed in one of his former hometowns.
Whatever they, you know, whatever they have to say, let them say it. It's not my concern. I don't know what it is. You know, I gave my all here when I was for 7.5, 8 years. I've never said anything bad about Denver, about the fans, about the organization, players. Never complained. Took everything on the chin, even when it wasn't my fault.
I don't know about that part.
he did sort of force his way out of there.
Yeah, right? So I don't know about that part, but you say why they boo him? Well, that's why. Because he didn't want to be there. So they drafted him.
It was 11 years ago.
Doesn't matter. Fans
ago,
act like they own you, right? They just do. I mean, we talk about it all the time. They act like they own you. They have a right to say, do, treat, whatever it is, because you're theirs. In the moment that you reject them, they feel hurt. And that pain lasts forever.
For 10 years.
It doesn't, they're going to do it.
You carry it for 10 years.
Rather than embrace it and be like, yo, these were some fun times when Melo was here. They like, ah, boo. That's what they do.
Here's what you learn once you've been in the public eye for a very long time. That it doesn't matter. Like, you're going to be damned if you do, damned if you don't. Like, at the end of the day, if you want to do something, if you want to pursue your own happiness key, some people aren't going to like that. Some people will like that. Some people won't care. So my thing is, at the end of the day, if you can't make everybody happy, why are you worried about how everybody else feels all the damn time?
And
it's a great point.
And another thing about it is when athletes leave opposed to being let go. See, when you let go or we're trading you because we don't want you anymore, now the fans embrace you.
Okay.
But if they have this feeling that you decided to divorce them and leave them, they don't like that. They want to be able to leave you, though. If I leave you, I feel good. If you leave me, it's like.
So you're saying like when I break up with you, it's no hard feelings.
No.
When you break up with me, yeah, we
think
can
about,
never
think
be
about
friends.
It, though, exactly. Alan. How many times have you seen a guy get traded or released that goes back to a team? They cheer him. They don't boo him. But if a player decides he wants out and he leaves, they're going to boo him, no matter what success he's had in that town or that city. The only place you're not going to get booed at if you happen to just leave, it's college. Because you're forever theirs. You're my guy. Duke, Jay Will is a Duke guy no matter what. He's God to Duke, right? They're not going to boo him when he walks in Cameron.
That's if he transferred schools, maybe they would boo him.
Because he left them. He broke. He didn't finish the task.
Will Tom Brady get booed when he goes back to New England?
No, absolutely. No, they're not going to boo him.
Exactly. Okay. But then again, but Tom Brady won championships in New England. That's
many
not really
championships. Great.
Melo was able to get them to a conference final. That's as far as he's ever gone. That's as far as, obviously, Denver has gone with him. And that's really been their best over the last 20 years or even more of Denver Nuggets franchise history. But again,
but he left him.
It's been so
doesn't
long.
Doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter. And
doesn't
I think, but, all right, where do you put Melo? He's top 10 now in scoring all time in NBA history.
Yes.
Where do you put him as far as, you know, players right now and somebody that for a while was a bit of a villain? He never really got the same love that the other guys, Jay, we call him the banana boat crew, right? You know, he and CP and LeBron and D. Wade. Those guys always have been celebrated, revered. Melo never really got that same kind of love, but I think he's getting it now this late in his career, isn't he?
I think he's getting the kind of
appreciation
from fans, especially the thing that helped Melo the most, which is sad because if you're a fan of just strictly basketball, he's one of the most prolific scorers the game has ever seen, right? But it was almost the way he felt like he was pushed out of the league. Like, I'm telling you, I remember going up only a couple of summers ago watching Melo work out with Chris Brickley in New York at a gym. And people felt like there was no way Melo could ever play basketball again. Ever play basketball? Like, he's done. People were calling Melo a bum. People were saying that. Yep. I wasn't. People were actually saying that he's a cancer on a team. So the fact that he's able to get back into the league and say, no, I've been a good teammate. There might have been times where I got portrayed the wrong way. And there might be times where maybe, you know, people didn't like the way Melo went about it. But it's kind of revamped the way people see him now.
Jay, Kia keeps pointing at me when you talk about being portrayed, that people are saying these things. You're pointing at me.
Because Kia calls you the media,
because
Alan.
You
know this.
In this New York media, when he was a Knick and things didn't work out the way y'all wanted it to, you just attacked him overnight.
Now,
you.
For the record, I have been one of his biggest defenders. I have taken bullets for this guy publicly because I've always believed in him. And even before the trade, I actually told him, you're the guy. You're the guy coming to New York. And he gave me this face like, me? I'm like, yeah, you're the guy.
Yeah,
and
he
then
just,
it happened, and then throughout his career in New York, it was the heaviest jersey in the league. You put that jersey on, it weighs way more than every other jersey, and he felt the weight of it. And his experience, I think, is what also created this idea that no stars want to play here because of what he went through.
Yeah, but you got to admit, though, a lot of what he went through, you know, some of it was his own doing. Some of it was, but also a lot of it was created.
Oh,
You know where we're at. We're in New York. It's created. And if you're not winning that championship, they're going to for sure attack you. And that's just
what
happened.
But, Alan, you know this, too. That's why a lot of big-time free agents have always been hesitant because they understand what comes along with being a New York Knick. Like, the Carmelo Anthony story is a story that a lot of people see, and they're like, he was drafted third, right? D. Wade didn't have that kind of pressure on him other places. Yeah. Like, so you see, if that happens, it's just, it's crazy.
If I'm Melo, though, I would have been attacking you. I would have been going at y'all. I wouldn't have let y'all set the narrative.
He handled the media so well.
I wouldn't
really
have let y'all
everything he dealt with
the narrative.
Everything he dealt with, he's got to retire a Knick. That has to happen. Speaking of Knicks, they're back in the playoffs for the first time since Melo. And yes, the haters, they're still out there too. We'll discuss.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.